Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is from Revelation, the Unveiling. This is part one of What Did Jesus Say to the Church? Now here's Pastor Steve.
John wrote in Revelation chapter 1 and 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, we're continuing our series in the book of Revelation today, and according to the scriptures, we are living in God's prophetic season of the possible fulfillment of this book right in our lifetime. Revelation is one of the most exciting books in the Bible. It's a prophetic book. And the word revelation in the Greek means apocalypse, the taking away of a veil, exposing something that had been concealed. God gave us the Bible. It is a revelation to humanity to explain who Jesus is and why he came. God sent his Son to save us from eternal punishment and death and to give us eternal life in heaven. Can we pause and give him thanks right now for that? So some people say, well, what did I need salvation for? What's this whole saved business about? Look, Jesus came because every person is born in sin. Thereby, we are all sentenced to death. First spiritually, physically, and eternally. And the Bible reveals to us that the consequences of sin is death. Now, during the beginning of creation, the Bible tells us in Romans 5 and 12, Adam sinned. And as a result, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. God told Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. We all being descendants of Adam, that death follows through into our DNA. And we were all sinners, is what the scripture just says. In Romans 6 and 22, it says, for the wages of sin is death. We had no choice in this. We were born sinners. We were born spiritually dead. And the wages of sin is death. Sin produces death. But thank God for Jesus. Because the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 5 and 8 says God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, I need to say this again because this is an absolute fact. God's divine judgment for sin is death. And because of that, Jesus died a sacrificial death in our place. And when you acknowledge him as your Savior and Lord, when you repent of your sins, that means you turn and go in the opposite direction after accepting him as Lord and Savior, and then walk in total obedience to God's word, you become a child of God, born again, saved from sin. John 1 and 12, it says, all who believed in Jesus and accepted him as Savior, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Romans chapter 8 and 17, it says, "And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him that we may be glorified together." And the apostle Paul said in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." If you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, expect persecution. That's a part of the package. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and 1, it says, "Since Christ suffered while he was here in his body, strengthen yourself with the same way, the same thinking that he had, for the person who has suffered in the body is finished with their sin." And it says, "Strengthen yourselves so that you will live here on earth doing what God wants and not evil." In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 12, it says, "Yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution." That is not good news, but I'm being truthful with you today. Some people think that once I accept Jesus, once I accept the Lord, everything's going to be wonderful. That's not what the Bible teaches. Everything will be wonderful between your relationship with God, but the devil is not going to be happy, and he is going to throw some persecution in your direction. Things will start happening and lining up against you just because Jesus is your Savior. It's called spiritual warfare. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and 12 that we're not fighting flesh and blood enemies, but we're fighting a spiritual war with unseen evil spirits that are determined to destroy us, determined to place us in hell, determined to stop us from fulfilling our God-given purpose. Now, as I mentioned last time, there was persecution against the church and great suffering at the time Revelation was written. However, the Christians died for their faith. Now, this is a sermon, this is an exhortation, this is a teaching that you really have to pay attention to. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must be willing to die. He said, and count the cost before you become my disciple, because you may have to give your life. The cross symbol that we wear today around our neck or different parts of the body or a ring was not just jewelry in Jesus' time. It was the instrument of death. And if you became a Christian, you might very well be carrying one of those or be placed upon one of those to die. So Jesus said, consider what it really means to follow me. And we see that here in the book of Revelation once again. People knew that they would lose their lives if they became a Christian, yet they refused to deny the Lord. In John chapter 6 and 66, at one point, many of Jesus' disciples turned away and they deserted him. So Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words that give eternal life. And we believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God." Folks, there is no other mediator who can take us to God but Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 2 and 5, it says, "There is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and he is the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone." Now, the book of Revelation reveals who Jesus is today, his authority over the world, both now and the future. And when John the Apostle saw Jesus in the vision, he did not see him as Savior, but as God's powerful divine judge over humanity. And his presence was overwhelming, so much so that John fell down at his feet like a dead man. In Revelation, each chapter reveals something about Jesus. The author of the book of Revelation is Jesus himself. In Revelation 22 and 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. Jesus instructed John to write the vision and to distribute it, to distribute this prophetic book to the churches to be read in all future generations. So what is the book of Revelation about? The book of Revelation unveils the events that will take place just before and after the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave John three divisions for this prophetic book. In Revelation chapter 1 and 19, Jesus said to John, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Jesus was telling him to write the things which you have seen, which refers to his vision of Jesus Christ as judge. He saw Jesus in his glorified state in heaven. Revelation chapter 1 and 12 through 16, it describes this, and I want to read that. John said, when I turned around to see who was speaking to me, I saw golden lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was somebody like the Son of Man. And he was wearing a long robe with a golden sash around his chest, and his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. The original language says flashing lightning. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. And it actually says in the original language, it's really like Niagara Falls. If you've ever been there, you've heard the roar of the falls. It's more than you can imagine. When Jesus spoke to John, it was like a mighty roar that came out. He held seven stars in his right hand, and there was a sharp two-edged sword that came out of his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But then he walked over and he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid, for I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. You see, I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I alone hold the keys of death and the grave. What powerful words!
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for joining us today. I am continuing to talk about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of the events that will precede and accompany the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus mentioned that he would return. And in Revelation 1 and 7, it says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all of the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. In verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation is one of the most important books of the Bible to read and understand. The author of the book of Revelation is Jesus himself. Revelation is a prophetic book. It is not history. It reveals the future. Most of it is still an unfulfilled prophecy to come. keep listening every day as we discuss the important messages Jesus reveals in Revelation. I want to invite you this Sunday to Spirit Life Church, where you will hear relevant messages like this every week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the Book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you would like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
When we think about life and the light of eternity, we think about heaven. And we think about who Christ is today, how he looks today. He looks like a judge. You know, it's important for us to realize, because we're always trying to win people to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. The same one who is the Savior is going to be your judge. To those who embrace him, he embraces as a loving Savior. For those who reject him, he judges them like an awesome judge. The same person you deal with as Savior can be your judge. So walk lightly and understand who you're talking to. Understand who you're dealing with. You're dealing with God, the Son of God. Number two, he said the things which are. Tell them about the things which are, which refers to the messages given to him for the seven churches that we're about to study now. And number three, the things which will be hereafter, the things which will come to pass after the church age has come to a close. Now, let me explain this point. After the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God allowed a period of time in history for the Gentile or non-Jewish population to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior from sin. This is referred to as the church age. The early church was a predominantly Jewish church, and most Jews rejected Christ. So God sent Paul with the gospel to the non-Jews. In Acts chapter 9 and 15, the Lord told Ananias, who had heard about Saul, he said, "Go pray for Saul, for he is my chosen instrument to take a message to the gospels, to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel." And in Acts chapter 13 and 46, Paul fulfills this call. Listen to what he says in this portion of scripture. "Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, 'It was necessary that we preach first the word of God to you Jews.'" Every place he went to the Jewish synagogue first. The Bible says to the Jew first. However, when they continued to reject Jesus Christ and blaspheme Jesus Christ, Paul says here, "But since you have rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.'" The word of God is revelation that continues to be revealed, because in the Old Testament, even though God stated it, many of the Jews felt Gentiles would never be saved. They would never go to heaven. How could God do that with these heathen? But with the death of Jesus Christ, they began to see God was for all humanity. Aren't you glad about it? And when they rejected Jesus Christ, God had already decided to go to the Gentiles and to the non-Jewish population, and he used the Apostle Paul to do it, and Peter. Now, lest you think God has given up on the Jews, that is not the truth. This time, called the church age, is the time for all of the non-Jews to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The Bible says it's the time for them all to come in, and then that's when the world is going to change. Talking about the Jews, though, God has a spiritual covenant with Israel and the Jews that goes back to Abraham. And this is so important for you to understand. You see, he promised them the land of Israel. And this is something that in the Middle East, they're still fighting over there. They're debating it. They are unsure. The scripture clearly tells us that God gave Israel, the land of Israel, the place of Jerusalem to the Jews. So let me read that for you. In fact, let me say this. Jerusalem will be the place where Jesus Christ reigns with his millennial kingdom. That thousand-year kingdom. But now listen to Genesis chapter 17 and 7, because God told Abraham, listen to what he said. This is the everlasting covenant that I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Now listen to what he says next. Verse 8. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. That's the land of Israel. And it will be, listen, their possession forever. And I will be their God. Now, why are they fighting so much for that piece of land? It's a spiritual war. The devil does not want Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. He does everything he can to thwart the will and the plan of God. And so he has raised up war to stop Israel from living in the land, to attempt to stop Jesus from coming to the land, to becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the world from that location. Look at somebody next to you and ask them, did you know that Jesus will reign over the world in Jerusalem? Let me read it. Write this down, Isaiah 24 and 23. It says, then the glory of the moon will wane and the brightness of the sun will fade. For the Lord of heaven's armies, that's Jesus, will rule on Mount Zion. He will rule in great glory in Jerusalem in the sight of all the leaders of his people. So although most Jews may be rejecting Christ now, God will never forsake the nation of Israel.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is from the Summer Revelation series. This is called, What Did Jesus Say to the Church? This is part one. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to share your word with these wonderful people. And Lord, we pray today because we know as individuals, we all have cares, we all have needs. We need your help. Lord, your word declares, unto thee I will cry, O Lord, because you're my rock. And the other part of that word says, be not silent to me, lest in your silence I become like those who go down into a pit. God, we need you today. We just really do. In this troubled world, we need to get real in our prayers with you. We need you, God. Hear the voice of our prayers when we cry to you. Help us, Lord God. Lord, your word says, blessed be the Lord because you have heard our voice. And we believe that. God, we just pray now, save us. Save us from our sins. We repent of all that we've done wrong. We give our lives to you, Jesus Christ. Be our Lord and our Savior. So many people are paying the price for their faith in you. Help us, oh God, that we might be strong in the Lord. and in the power of your might. Lord, your word says the Lord is my strength and he is the saving strength of my life. Thank you, God. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.